Welcome to A New Dawn with Pastor Alberto Santiago, Senior Pastor of New Dawn Ministries in North Miami, Florida. Today's lesson is Grace, Sin is Taken Away. Let's join Pastor Santiago in session now.
For the month of May, say May. For the month of May, you know, since it's the month of my birthday. Sorry, I just that disc came out. I didn't mean to say it. But for this month, I felt very strong by the Lord, just leading by the Holy Spirit, that I'm going to be speaking on the subject of grace. And I believe that those that will be ministering this, even during the week time, in the weekday service, somehow they'll be ministering grace also, somehow. But I'm calling this series for the entire month, The Gospel of Grace. And you're going to hear a lot of things. Today's message, actually, I've never preached, so it's fresh. And I was looking at all my messages I've done in the last, the end of 2008, if you were here at that time, I began to preach on the message of grace, and it truly revolutionized our lives. And I've gone through those messages, but I'm also asking God to reveal new things that He hasn't revealed, because God is a progressive God.
Yes,
amen. So this one, it may sound familiar, but I have actually never preached, so this one is fresh. And I know it's not May, but I'm starting early because, man, I've had conversations with people this week about grace, the new covenant, and I'm like, man, every time I talk to somebody, it's about the new covenant or about grace. And I was in a car yesterday, and we heard a message about grace. It's like, yeah, man, I'm ready for this. And it's my favorite subject because I believe it's this important, this message of grace can actually really, truly deliver His people to go further than they ever had before. Amen? So John chapter 1, ready? John chapter 1, verse 29. Are you there?
Yes.
The word of God says, the next day John saw Jesus. Who did John see?
Jesus.
Come on, class. Who did John see?
Jesus.
Coming towards him and said, what did he say? Look, the Lamb of God. What did he say? Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Did you hear that? Look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Did you see that? I'm reading one more time. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How many can thank God that He took away the sin? The sin of the world. Father, we just give You thanks for this word. We believe that it will touch Your people's heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 The title of this specific message is called Grace. Grace is sin. Is sin taken away? Grace is sin taken away. And it's an important subject, and I think it's going to bless your heart. And we just read this text on John where John is baptizing people, but also as he's baptizing, he looks and he opens his eyes and he sees that what the person that's coming next is not just another person. It's not just another Jew. But this person, John, recognizes that he is the Lamb of God. Say, the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. He realizes that who is coming is the one they have been waiting for. That the person that's coming to be baptized is the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. And it is interesting to understand that sometimes, you know, if you're coming towards me and I'm John, baptizing people, and Jonathan is coming. I said, well, there's Jonathan. But interestingly enough, John didn't say, there's Jesus. John didn't say, no, that's Mary's son. No, John said, there goes the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. And so what a weird thing to call someone a lamb. Can you imagine if someone called you the Lamb of the world? Can you imagine, or the Lamb of God? And that would be your name. That would be how you would be recognized. Yet here is, understand this, here is our Messiah, the Son of God. And John sees him, though, as the Lamb of God. And so my question then becomes, what did John the Baptist see? Or what did John the Baptist mean when he called Jesus the Lamb of God that takes away the sin? And so before we go into that, I want to take you to another scripture, Hebrews 9, verse 22. Hebrews 9, verse 22. I want to show you something that's very key throughout Scripture. Whenever you see blood, it's an important important topic that we need to make sure we address. So we continue. Hebrews 9, verse 22 says, and according to the law, according to what?
The law.
Mm. Am I at the right place? Oh, I have a different translation. I'll read this one. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with what?
Blood. Mm.
How things are purified?
With blood.
How were you purified?
With blood. Mm-hmm.
And without shedding of blood, there is what? No remission. In other words, without shedding of blood, there cannot be, nothing can be taken away, or sin cannot be removed or taken away. Listen to my translation. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. In other words, if blood is not shed, there can't be forgiveness. In other words, it wasn't good enough for Jesus to say, your sins were forgiven. Blood had to be the offering for the forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
And I believe Paul, when he wrote this, he was referring to the law, and he goes to the law and says that when the law requires a sin offering, it requires then it has to be blood for there to be forgiveness. Now go to verse 12. Hebrews 9, go up to verse 12. Watch this. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all. Say once and for all. Now notice it says, listen, not with the blood of animals, but with his own blood. Whose blood is he talking about?
Jesus.
Say Jesus' blood.
Okay.
He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal what?
Redemption.
Come on. Having obtained what?
Redemption.
Eternal redemption. What did he obtain? So he goes into the holies of holies, not with the blood of animals, but with his own blood. And by him going in with his own blood, the most holy place, he now offers what? He now offers what? Once and for all, having obtained. That word obtained means having paid eternal redemption. Did you see that? How many times did Jesus pay for your redemption?
One time.
How many times did Jesus die for your sin?
One time.
Say one time. So that means that when you sin next week, this afternoon, when you sin, can I tell you that blood was shed for your sins that you will commit tomorrow?
Yes.
I'm going to say that one more time. Blood was already shed for the sins that you will commit tomorrow. Jesus doesn't have to go up on the cross and die again for your sins. He did it once and for all. He paid or obtained what? Eternal redemption. Did you hear that? He paid for your eternal redemption. Now, thank God that Jesus doesn't have to die on the cross every other week or once a year. He doesn't have to do this, because the difference between his blood and the blood of animals is that he had perfect blood, pure blood. Can someone say amen to that? So we notice that there cannot be forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Then we can now say that for there to be eternal redemption, it couldn't be just the blood of animals. It had to be his own blood. Say his own blood. So when John is speaking about the Lamb of God, he is speaking literally about Jesus, who is the type of a lamb that he has. Contrary to the blood of animals, his blood is perfect without anything wrong with it. It's perfect blood. That's why he doesn't have to die every time you sin. He died once and for all for your sins and bought or obtained eternal redemption. How many thank God for that? How many really thank God for that? That's powerful, isn't it? 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling, yeah. That's in the Bible, yes. Sprinkling the unclean Listen. For if the blood of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. And so, yes, in other words, that did work. How much more shall the blood of Christ? How much more? Tell your neighbor. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your, listen, not just your flesh, but your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Listen, if the blood of animals could cleanse you of your sins once a year, imagine how much more the blood of Jesus can cleanse your consciousness of evil works. In other words, you can't compare the blood type. The blood of animals could only do a work, and it was only until the perfect blood would be revealed. That's why Jonathan said that what happened before the cross is one thing. What happened after the cross is a whole new story. Because now we're talking about perfect blood, untainted blood. And that blood has the power to cleanse you of all your sins and bought for us eternal redemption. That's why when Jesus died for your sins, he died for your sins, your past, present, and future sins all at once. So that means that there's a guarantee, because blood was shed, that you will be forgiven even tomorrow. Amen. Good God Almighty. Even tomorrow, when you sin, there's guarantee that you will be forgiven. Or already been forgiven. So somebody receive that? Shoot, I love this message. 15. And for the reason he is the mediator. And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant. In other words, that's why he's able to administer the covenant, or the new covenant of grace. Because he not only is he the administrator, the mediator, but he is also the one that died. So that this covenant would be a reality to us. Look at 15. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant. Now, what was under the first covenant? Say the law. So those that were under the law, not only did it die for us, but he also died for those that were under the law, the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So not only is there an eternal redemption, but there is also an eternal inheritance. Amen. Amen? Amen? Now, let's go back. So see, I'm reading backwards now. Let's go back to verse 1, 10. Hebrews 10, verse 1. Or excuse me, now. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. What was the law? What was the law? The law was a what?
A shadow.
How many know there's a difference between a shadow and a reality? Yes. People under the law were just in the shadow. We are under the reality, the substance. Think about it. Everybody under the law was just simply operating under the shadow of what was to come. That's why Hebrews says that we have greater promises. Because we are living in the reality of everything that Jesus had paid for. And not the very image of the things can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year. When did they offer the sacrifice? Year by year. Make those who approach, what? Perfect. In other words, it couldn't perfect you. All it did was cover you until the following year. For then, they would not have ceased to be offered. For the worshiper, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, in the old covenant, there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats, it is not possible that the blood of animals, could take away sin. It can only what? This is is what the blood of bulls and goats and all those blood of animals could do. It only cover your sin. And then you live for a whole year under the rug, in the closet. And then a new year will come, an animal will be sacrificed, and guess what? Those sins were taken away, but then you start living, and all it could do is what? Yet, the blood of Jesus doesn't just cover your sin, it removes your sin. It removes it completely.
We'll be back with the second half of our message. Don't forget to visit our website at newdawnusa.info. Here you can see our video archive of our messages and so much more. We now return with Grace is Sin Taken Away here on A New Dawn.
Okay, no, getting back to the message. Go on. Okay, here we go. Listen. All the sins, watch this. Say all of it.
All of it.
No, you need to understand this. Say all.
All of it.
The sins of the world. All of it, completely. Even the ones who weren't even born were placed all on Jesus. Now, he was not just placed on him, he became the sin. When Jesus hung on the cross, I told you, and I said this before, and I'll say it again. Understand this. In the entire Bible, the entire time you hear Jesus, you know, have you ever seen the Bibles with the red letters? That means Jesus was speaking. Okay. If you read that, oh, that's what he's speaking. Yeah. Whenever you see Jesus speaking in the red letters in the Bible, he would never say never.
Never.
Say it stronger. Say never.
Never.
He never referred to the Father as God, but only, this is what he would say, Abba. Abba. If you know Abba, you know me. If you've seen Abba, you've seen me. He always referred to him as Father. Only at the cross, when he laid, he said something. He says, Elohim. Elohim. He referred to him as God. Why have you forsaken? So when he took the sins of the world, come here. So when he took the sins of the world, here's Jesus. Stand up there. Your hands, all your sins transferred on him. Remember the lamb? He transferred all your sin on him. Not only was it transferred on him, he became sin. He was a picture of sin, right? He cries out, Elohim, Elohim. Look up. Why have you forsaken me? Because I'm the Father. Look at me. Now you look at me. I'm the Father. I'm watching the sacrifice. And because of sin, his Father. You don't understand it now. Listen to this. His Father had to give him his back. He took the sins. And when he gave him his back, he saw you. Even though he was left there abandoned. And now, you will never be forsaken. You will never be abandoned. You will never, never, he will never. Do you understand? He had to forsake him to promise that he would never forsake you. That's crazy, man. Who in their right mind would do something like that? Do you understand what I'm saying? One time, the sins, and he cried, Elohim, Elohim. He couldn't even call him Father. Why? Because there was a separation. That's why the Bible said that when we were far off, he brought us near to him. Jesus, you on one side, the Father on the other side, provided the medium, the connection, the bridge to connect us back to the Father. But there had to be a lamb of death. Jesus. So he had to be separated so that you would never be, that you that were far off brought near to the Father. That's why you and the Father are close. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Grace is sin. Take it away. Take it away. Lift up your hands. Ooh, shalom. Just say thank you. That's all. You don't have to say much. Just say thank you. Come on. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be. Just say thank you. Come on. I will never be forsaken. I will never be abandoned. Joe, you will never be forsaken. Never. He will never do. He will never. Do you understand that Jesus did it for you, for me? Not because we deserved it, but because he's perfect. Dele gracias. Come on, just say thank you. Just say thank you. Come on, just say thank you. Now you've been drawn. You've been made to come near to him. You're no longer far. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, I'm no longer far from him. I'm near. In fact, the Bible says that we are seated at the right hand. We are seated at the right hand. In heavenly places. Amen? Amen? He was telling Moses and Aaron, hey, guys, close down the altar. Close the altar. You don't need a burner. You don't need another sacrifice. You don't need another burnt offering. He was telling Isaiah, this is the lamb you were talking about. And yes, he would be slaughtered for you. He was telling you and me, this is the one who will take your sins away. And if you put your faith in him, you will be cleansed. Cleansed. Cleansed completely. Not just for a year, but he bought for us eternal redemption. That's why we naturally keep our distance from God. Yeah, when we know we're wrong, we keep our distance from God. Why? Because because we are aware, we know of our sin. We either are ashamed or by default, we are presumptuous thinking, well, whatever, I'm just the way I am. We are afraid that if we face God, listen, by ourselves, he will inspect us and we will be in big trouble because you're thinking if you never trusted in Jesus, you're going to have to pay for your sins. When the Bible says that, listen, the Bible even says that the sins of the world have been forgiven. He didn't die for the righteous. He died for sinners. He died for sinners. He died for sinners. So what makes you think that someone out there doesn't deserve what you have received? He did it for them. He didn't die for the church. He died for the world. While you were in your sin, Jesus died. To demonstrate what? To demonstrate the greatness of his love. That's why the Jews even knew this. When they would bring a lamb, listen to this. That when they bring a lamb every year, during the time of Moses and Aaron, listen to this. They would bring it to the altar and would be, and I tell you that lamb would be inspected because they thought, man, I got to bring something. Because I can do it. And here's what some people do, Minister Sal. They come to God and they think they have to pay the price when Jesus already paid it. But here's what you're saying. When you're saying this, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to avoid what you did for me at the cross. I'm going to avoid it because I'm going to do it for myself. You are saying, or you are trampling on the spirit of grace and on the blood of the Lamb. That's why the book of Hebrews, there's a part that he says, horrific thing is to fall in the hands of a living God. He is not referring to you when you sin intentionally. He's talking about an intentional sin. You want to know what the intentional sin was? Here's the intentional sin. He's speaking directly to the Jew. He says a horrific thing. And this is what he does. He's telling the Hebrews, why do you keep offering sacrifice when I, who was the ultimate sacrifice, paid the ultimate price? And you continue to offer sacrifices. You have trampled on the blood and on the spirit of grace. Horrific thing is to fall in the hands of a living God. In other words, you are voiding the sacrifice of my son Jesus and the punishment for that. Well, what's the ultimate punishment? They would offer the building. They had the temple. They would offer the sacrifice. But there came an enemy, and what happened? The temple was destroyed. Until this day, they can't offer a sacrifice. What do you think they're building now in Israel? A temple. So they can resume what? Offering. And that would bring what? Cause the second coming. He's not going to take it. He's not going to take it. He's not going to take it. You will not trample on the blood. You will not offend the spirit of grace. He's not going to take it. You're not going to abuse what his son did. The Father honors the sacrifice of the Son. And he will not allow you to spit on it, to step on it, to trample on it. That's why if you read the book of Hebrews, it said that the first time he came for sin. He came for sin. But for the second time, he comes for salvation. What is he saying? The first time Jesus came, he came to deal with sin. Now, sin, what's sin? I'm not talking sin now. Sin, this thing called sin. Will you continue to sin? Yes. I'm not talking about the act, the verb. I'm not talking about sin, the verb. I'm talking about sin noun, the spirit of sin. When Jesus died, he died for sin, the spirit of sin. He died. That's why if you read Romans, you read Romans, every time you see the word sin in the book of Romans, 95% of the time the word is a noun, sin, the thing, the place. You were under the, you know why you sin? Because you're under a spirit of sin before. Now you're under a new spirit, the spirit of the Lord. Now you're under spirit of grace. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? That's why I say this, and people have taken me wrong. People have misunderstood me when I said, you listen to this. People go around and all they do is confess sin. I said, they're always confessing sin. So let me ask you a question. When do you confess your righteousness? All they do is, I have to go to church because I have to confess my sin. Really? Why? Why? That's all they know. What's your confession? My confession of sin. Nobody confesses their righteousness. Why is that? You know that in the last 4 years, I have not confessed my sin? What, Pastor? I have not confessed my sin. You know what I've done in the last 4 years? Can I tell you what I do? Can I tell you? Can I give you a little secret? When I go to God and I go say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that my sins have been forgiven and have been removed. He didn't call the righteous to repentance. He called sinners. We're too busy repenting but never renewing the mind. He called the righteous to renew the mind every day. We have a renewal problem, not a repentance problem. I repent when I was a sinner and I came to God. I said, today I repent. After sin, now I'm renewing the mind, renewing the mind, renewing the mind. That is now what metanoia, that is repentance. So we have people crying every week, coming to the altar, please lay hands on me. And they're repenting, but they're not repenting because their minds have not changed. And so guess what? They come every week, consciousness of sin, and they think they have to confess their sin when they should be confessing who they are in Christ. Who they are. They are the righteousness in Christ. Like what Joseph Prince says, he says, if people say, well, this message, people will go on sinning. And then he has this verse where he says, who will love me much? Whoever's forgiven much. And if you think you've never been forgiven, you can never love God correctly. No. See? He said, who will love? Those that know they have been forgiven will love much. You don't have to beg them to serve God. You don't have to beg them to give. You don't have to beg them to. No. Why? They understand. Good God, do you know how much I've been forgiven? It is a pleasure for me to serve the pastor. It is a pleasure for me to serve in the usher. It is a pleasure to open doors. It is a pleasure to clean. It is a pleasure to serve. It is a pleasure to be a pastor. Why? I've been forgiven much, and I haven't done anything to deserve it. He did it because he loved me. You don't understand. that. Why? Because we would offer ourselves only if someone deserves it. But what happens when Jesus died for people who didn't deserve it? Like you and I. Grace is sin taken away. Once and for all. John, my sins were taken by Jesus and thrown into the sea. To the sea of forgetfulness. And when I come to the Father, He doesn't remember. He is the only one who has the ability to forgive and forget. So when I come to Him, He sees me through the eyes. No, no, you don't understand. He doesn't see me. He sees the Lamb. The perfect Lamb of God. He sees the Lamb. Grace, I have to finish, is sin taken away. So can I tell you, Abraham, Adam, Abraham, Moses, Aaron, offered these. They don't have to offer no more. John was a prophet of the old covenant, yet he had a revelation of the Lamb of God. And can I tell you that you and I have a better Lamb. We have a better Lamb. My God. I said we have a better Lamb. His blood. Say His blood. Come on. Say amen on this one. Say His blood is the only thing which can wash away my sins. Can someone say amen to that? And when God, listen to this now. I wrote this this morning. When God, listen to this. And when we face God, He will not inspect. He will not inspect me. He will inspect the Lamb. Not me. He will inspect the Lamb. Some people are afraid that when they go to heaven, that God is going to inspect them, that God is going to judge them. Why would God judge me when Jesus was judged on my behalf? What we're going to heaven is for the rewards. Who will be judged? The sinner who didn't believe. Why? Grace is sin taken away.
Did you enjoy today's message? Like us on Facebook at New Dawn Live and leave a comment on how you felt about today's lesson. You can also follow us on Twitter at New Dawn Pastor. Remember to join us next time for a new teaching here on A New Dawn.